welcome to the Wellbeing Connector podcast. I'm Rory Reed, your host, and today I'm joined by Louisa Duran and Tammy Chang, who are with Pink Coat MD. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but first I'd love for them to introduce themselves, talk about the work that they're doing in their professional journey, and then we'll unpack their work in well-being.
Well, thank you so much, Roy, for welcoming us onto this podcast. We're really delighted to be able to speak to our peers, our physician peers, and the greater healthcare community. My name is Louisa Duran. I am a practicing enologist. I've been practicing for the last 10 years. I am in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is my hometown, and I absolutely love what I do. I set out to become a physician when I was a child. It was my childhood dream. My parents sacrificed everything for me to have the privilege and honor to receive the education that I received and to be in a position where I can serve my community with, you know, the best of science, the best of medicine. And today, not only am I doing what I love, which is helping my community as a physician, I'm also in the throes of raising three little people. I have a 9-year-old daughter who serves as my inspiration for a lot of the well-being work that we're doing in medicine, and a 6-year-old son and a 3-year-old son. I'm here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I think we'll probably get into more of the details of our journey with Pink Coat MD, but I'll go ahead and pass it to Tammy, who is a dear friend of mine, and I know she'll share a little bit more about our journey as to how we reconnected from medical school and beyond.
Cool.
Yeah, sure. I'm so happy to jump in, and thank you for having us, Roy. We love your organization so much, and we're honestly just honored to do anything to help and to help you all and help others, right? And that's all the work that we do too as well. So Louisa and I have actually known each other since we were 18. We met freshman year orientation at Brown in the 8-year medical program there, and I think we met on the Pembroke steps, if I recall, or some event, I'm sure. Yeah, but we've known each other and been friends for over 25 years. So we graduated from that 8-year program together. And that's actually a huge part of why we're here. We've like reconnected again after years later and are here doing this today. So I live in the Seattle area. I'm a pediatric hematologist, oncologist half the time. And my other half of the time, I'm the wellness director for my healthcare system. So I get to do this wellness work every single day. And it's an honor to do that. I'm also a coach. Louisa and I write books. We do a lot of speaking. We do a lot of advocacy. And we also founded Pink Coat MD too, which is what brought us together. So really, I think what happened was at least I think you wanted to become a doctor much younger than me. You were like 8 years old. You tell the story often. And I didn't figure it out until I was in high school. But we did figure it out before we applied to Brown, because we had to apply out of high school to go into medical school. So we showed up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and full of hope and joy and excitement about just the future of being able to serve and be able to help and heal people through our profession. And we finished medical school. We went off on our ways to our respective residencies and then fellowship, et cetera. And we lost touch, I think. We lost touch then, or was it later, Louisa?
We lost touch, after we graduated from medical school.
Okay. Yeah. Well, somewhere along the way, we lost touch, but we reconnected. I think we like kept in touch actually during all of our training, but loosely, because we're so busy. Mm-hmm. We finished training, and actually then the real tough work began, because that's when we totally lost touch completely, if I recall now. It's 20 plus years, so I'm trying to remember for which part. And so we're both young. I mean, we're both in our early 40s. We're both about 10 plus years out of training now, so we're technically mid-career, although we're just barely mid-career, right? And we honestly both had a really, really rough go within those first 3 to 5 years of finishing training, which we did not expect, because we train in like big, intense academic places. And we thought, okay, we got it. We're going to head out and finally have to take care of patients. But we came to actually find that life as women physicians in particular was so much harder than we ever could have imagined after finishing our training. And Louisa almost quit within, I think, the first 4 or 5 years. I hit rock bottom, almost quit myself. I had severe depression too on top of it. And I share this very openly why I'm so passionate, but I was suicidal. I mean, it was very bad. And, you know, it was around that time after we, I think, had already gotten tons of help and were starting to get better. And then we reconnected again because we had completely lost touch after those training years. And that changed our lives.
Real quick, as you reflect on that journey, I'd love for each of you to maybe just touch on a couple of things that, when you talk about the difficulty, right, what were some of the things that you now look back on and say, man, I can't believe that wasn't there for me to help deal with those things, or this was an issue, an overriding issue that really led to this depression or frustration or whatever it was. And if you would, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm happy to speak to that, Roy. As Tammy was talking about, we lost touch. We were good friends. You know, we met each other since we were kids when we started our journey at Brown. And I mean, Tammy and I, we were like the kinds of friends that we, you know, we ate meals together. We had sleepovers. We watched movies. We went on hike. We traveled internationally together. So we did a lot together. And what happens in the medical field when you become a doctor is once you graduate from medical school, which, you know, is a pretty intense experience, but you're surrounded by your peers, you have mentors, you have professors who support you on that journey. You go into intern year residency. That experience is like no other in that it is a very intense, training. You're working. At that time, we were working, 30 plus hours. You don't sleep. You don't have time to eat. You actually don't even have time to connect with your family. Mm. And so, when we talk about how we lost touch, well, it's in those circumstances in that kind of work environment where it was very easy to lose touch with even your loved ones. And I went into adult practice. Tammy went into pediatrics. So we chose just very different paths. Mm-hmm. Not to say that that's the reason why we should have disconnected, but it's just, again, the nature of medical training. You go into adult medicine, it's a different world. You go into pediatrics, it's a different world. And that world becomes, for me, it became very lonely and mm-hmm. isolating. I didn't recognize the isolation and the loneliness until I was an attending. So I graduated from my training. I was no longer again in that peer support group as a fellow, as an intern, as a resident. And I was now just kind of planted in a job where, of course, I was excited to finally practice on my own and grateful because I was able to come back to my hometown and be close to family, my elderly parents. However, I then embarked on a journey where I had to start seeing a lot of patients and I had tremendous responsibility. It was my first job. You're working, you have an 8-to-5 kind of job where you're seeing patients during that time, but you really, for every patient you see, there's 2 hours of administrative work that you do. So it was long hours, Monday through Friday, and just complete overwhelm. And at that time, not only was there isolation and loneliness, but you asked what was it that really sort of led to the decline in our well-being. For me, it was the culture of silence in medicine. Mm. And that is that at the time, and I'm looking back 6-7 years ago, mm-hmm. I was practicing as a female physician in a clinic without any other peers in my office. I was the only female doctor. I am the only physician in my family, so I don't have any other medical professionals to turn to. I've lost contact with all my physician peers and the mentors and professors who guided me throughout the journey, and had disconnected from, you know, medical school friends. And it was just a complete place of lonely and isolation, feeling the overwhelm, the depersonalization, the emotional exhaustion, which I now know are symptoms of burnout. At the time, I had no clue that that was burnout. And then feeling like it was all my fault. So too afraid to speak out about my experience or share with other people what I was experiencing, because I thought it was, a personal failure. And our culture in medicine is such that, you know, you're the hero, you're the person who knows it all, you're the person who, can sleep, can go through a 36-hour shift without going to the bathroom and eating, and you save the day. And so, and you never really, at the time when we were brought up as physicians, never really admit to your weaknesses, your failures, your mistakes, your vulnerabilities. And I was, we were brought up in that culture. And so Tammy and I, because we had a friendship to fall back on when we finally connected in person in Seattle, that was by chance that I had a medical conference there. And I called Tammy up and I said, Do you happen to be free this weekend? I'd love to see you. I'd love to see how you're doing. That we connected in person, and then we had this friendship of many years to fall back on, to really kind of open up and share our vulnerabilities and actually be super honest with each other and say, wow, I'm like not like I'm I think I want to quit my job. And I want to leave this profession. I didn't expect all these things. I didn't expect to get to a dark place in my life. And she, shared with me her journey of nearly losing her life to medicine. And it was at that moment where, like, this is not right. We have to do something about it. This can't be the culture of medicine for the future. For our future. And, I have a daughter who wants to be a doctor. And so I said earlier, she's kind of my inspiration. And the reason is because if she's going to be a doctor 20 years from now, I want it to be a much more compassionate and uplifting, joyful culture for her and for all of her peers, so that she truly thrives and all of us thrive, and not just survive and not just burn out, and have such just hard memories of what it's like to become a physician.
No doubt. Tammy, pick it up from there and share a little bit about your journey as well.
The part after being coming and attending and why that was so hard.
Yeah. Just kind of the same pathway. And then we'll come back to the place where you guys connect.
I know. Get to the present. I know. It feels like such a long journey to get here. It really was. And honestly, the first 4 or 5 years out of training, they were the hardest years of my life. I can't believe they were harder than being in a trainee. And that was astounding for a multitude of reasons, very different reasons than Louisa's, actually. Very lucky to work in a children's hospital, and in pediatrics, over 77.0% of the attending physicians are women. So I was surrounded by lots of women. I had a lot of friends, right? Mm-hmm. I had a community, and yet I still hit rock bottom. So that doesn't solve everything, right? Yeah, but again, a culture of silence too, as well. Mm-hmm. I had discovered for the first time personally, and I'll let Louisa share her own perspective, but I was so oblivious to all the bias that you deal with as a woman and a young-ish looking woman who's Asian in a culture that's been traditionally male-dominated, but you have a staff that's predominantly women. There was a lot of gender bias, politics, a lot of microaggression stuff I was not prepared for, and I was naive to, honestly. And that was what was hardest for me those first 5 years, because it was somehow the hierarchy, the power distance. As a trainee, I was not a threat. suddenly as an attending, somehow everything I did was a threat or said or did or didn't say or how I said it or whatever, right? And it was, I was unprepared. To me, that was actually a huge driver for me. And then in terms of how I got to such a tough place, it was a multitude of factors. It was, there was all that stuff, but then also it was, we were very short staffed. We had multiple members of our group who had a like family emergencies, personal family members dying. And that was very traumatic for all of us. We also had at that time an explosion of our patient population and new oncology diagnoses. So we were unprepared to handle the influx of patients, plus having two of the four people on our team out. And so I just took so much call. I mean, I now astoundingly think back on, this is not only 5 years ago. I think I worked 2 weeks straight every on call. Anyways, I think I had a day off every 2 weeks for over 6 months, which is not unlike being a fellow or resident, but you always have other people to back you up. Where I work, it's a non-academic place. So you're everything. We're the resident, we're the med student, we're the attending, we're the, you're, and when you're sleeping and you are at, on call, you don't sleep. And so I was not sleeping. And it really just got to the point where I was not functioning well and not right. And very not okay. And I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't think it was, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know any other way than just to put my head down and keep going. Cause that's what we're trained to do in medicine. You always put the patient first. You always look out for your colleagues. You always make sure they're okay. You do make sure everyone else is okay. And you're like, you don't even think about yourself, right? And that's what we're trained to do since we're a young age. And so it's very, it's strong within us. It's a lot of self-sacrifice. And so I just really hit rock bottom and couldn't do it anymore. So that's how I got to that ugly, yucky place. Yeah.
Put this into context of time for me. So what year was your rock bottom?
2019. Right. Wasn't that long ago.
Right, yeah. Right. So that's pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. So right on the front end of when everything goes absolutely crazy.
About a year before. Yeah.
And so is that when you all reconnected and started the conversation? So
tell me a little bit about. We reconnected September 21st, 2019.
Tell me about that reconnection and what conversation started to take place between you.
You want to take it, Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, just we were lucky to have our friendship. We've known each other since we were 18. And so even though we had lost touch and we weren't having the same shared moments that we did as, you know, 20-year-olds, we had that trust that we could just kind of get to the meat of the issue, right? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, Tammy, like even though by now I had finished training fellowship, so kind of got through 7 years of training, same with Tammy, it felt like we were kids again, like kids in a sandbox, being able to just like talk to each other like we were sisters. And really the first things that came out of our mouths were just how much we were suffering in silence. I giggled there because Tammy's now done a whole TED talk about the silent suffering of women physicians. But that is exactly what we were experiencing. And so we just, it was like a sigh of relief to bring voice to our experience and break the silence. And Tammy, for anyone who ever meets her, she is the most compassionate, loving soul that you could ever come across. And she has such a heart of gold, and you can talk to her, you can confide in her, you can trust in her, and she listens like with her heart. And so I am fortunate that I was able to have her there to say all of the, you know, the skeletons in my closet that I was keeping up that I didn't feel safe to share with my colleagues, with my fellowship mentors, or really anyone in my path. I mean, it's just, there's so much shame in feeling like you're just like suffering as a doctor. And even if you have the most loving of spouse, like my husband is not in medicine, like he just doesn't get it. So that's the plain truth. So it's like, we need each other. We need other like our physician peers to turn to like have these honest, open, non-judgmental conversations, safe conversations, to then have that person say to you, I get it. I know, because me too. Right. And that was sort of the response that Tammy had. And then for her to have the courage to openly share with me, her near loss of life, which the sad reality is that her story is not uncommon. We know that physicians have the highest rate of suicide among professions, and more so for women physicians. Mm-hmm. So just knowing those grim statistics was really eye-opening for us. And Tammy and I are also like, you know, if we see something, I think what really bonds us is like when we see that there's a wrong, we really want to make it right. Like we just really have like a lot of integrity and like a strong moral compass. And when we were like, wow, this happened to us, and we, you know, like Tammy and I are like top students. We went to top schools, top programs. We really had the best of the best training and education. And we had like such loving people in our lives. I mean, I have such a loving family, and Tammy has such a loving, you know, family and friends. Like if that happened to us, like we can't even imagine how many other people it's happening to. And that's when we're like, this is not right. And what can we do to make it better? And that's really been our mission ever since then, is how do we make it better, particularly for us women physicians, because we know if we look at the statistics, there's such disparity and inequity, and we definitely have a worse experience than male physicians. And we obviously understand our journey a lot better, and we know that there are resources available that can truly help us. And so we're just now on a mission to help us thrive and live the lives that we absolutely deserve to live. That makes us better doctors.
Absolutely. Tell me, Tammy, from there, what were the discoveries you all came to? And then unpack what's started to happen as a result of that and has led to Pink Code MD.
Oh yeah, it's a journey. I think it really started with that walk around the block. It was literally a 30-minute walk around the block in Seattle, and then I drove her to SeaTac Airport. I mean, I think altogether it was not even an hour of time, and we're like, we're doing something. We don't know what, but we're gonna do something. Because Louisa actually had kept in touch with many other of our classmates and had shared they were struggling too, and I hadn't kept in touch with them. And I said, we're like, okay, we got to do something to help. We don't know what that is. Maybe we'll just start a podcast, you know, like you. Anything to help. And being the good little students that we are, I think Louisa had actually already been researching this, and she'd already been on this whole. The thing is, both of us we're not people who are just going to sit and give up, right? We worked so hard to get these career to get to where we are at today. I mean, I think by the time Louise and I reconnected, she had already taken multiple business courses at Stanford and Berkeley about like women's leadership, how to increase your influence in your voice. She didn't know how to negotiate things at work. She felt powerless, didn't know how to help herself. By then she'd already worked with a coach. And this is all before she and I reconnected. And around that time, I discovered coaching, and I think I was seeing like two therapists and a psychiatrist, and I was like doing everything under the sun, right, to get better. Or I was reading a ton and researching a ton. And so we'd done a lot of research on our own. And then when we got together, we said, what is really out there? What is the data? Because we're both good students. We can research things, right? So then that actually opened our eyes that much more, because it wasn't until we really did like deep dive literature searches into the media and the wealth of research that's been done over the last 20, 30 years, we realized, wow, why is no one talking about any of this, yeah. Right? I mean, there are women's organizations, but they aren't highlighting these huge disparities in a way that like I've never heard of it. Louisa's never heard of it. And so we even found like astounding statistics from studies that were done like 20 years ago, 2004, 2005. And that was when that first study was done about women physicians having that 250 to 400 times higher risk of dying by suicide than women in the general population. We were both in med school back then. It was like buried underneath the covers, right? And so what we just, I think when it just added fuel to our fire when we said, wait, there's all this data. People have actually been studying and publishing this for decades. Why is no one talking about this? That's actually what started us. We said, well, let's just make a website and we'll just have a platform. We'll educate people. So our first version of our website, which frankly was, and it's still today, made by the younger brother of our med school classmate who has now become a family friend of ours. He still does our website for us. But our first version of our website was literally all the statistics. Here it is, all in one place. These are all the key articles. Like we had like folders of articles and pages of like all the references. Like, so it was like a library of anyone who needed to know anything there is to know about women physicians and the issues that we're facing today. It's all there. Because it takes like two people who are passionate like us who spend countless hours digging into the bowels of, there's no libraries anymore, right? In the same way, but online to put all of it together. So that's what actually started us. And along that way, Louisa shared, there's all these evidence-based resources, right, that we know have actually been shown to proven to help burnout, to help resilience, all these things specific to women, specific to physicians. And so we're like, let's just put it all together in one place. And by then, we personally had worked with many different specialists and experts. We're like, well, we've tried them all. Let's just put them all in one place and make it easy. Because when women are struggling, the last thing we have energy for is to go searching for help. It's like, and we know it, because when someone's struggling, like you barely have energy to like pick up a phone to call someone, right? Let alone Google something for help. And so we essentially just created, honestly, what we created is what we needed when we were struggling and wish we had.
And this was before the pandemic as well. So, I mean, just to give people context. So, you know, the burnout was definitely magnified by the pandemic, but our stories and our struggles happened well before the pandemic.
Yep.
And understanding the burnouts, again, before pandemic at the time, not a lot of attention, not a lot of headlines on it. And after the pandemic obviously brought it much more to light. So
one silver lining. One silver. And then also, I think, dedication of many organizations, including your own, of highlighting that, it really brought a lot to the forefront, like the Lorna Breen Foundation, the AMA, et cetera. I mean, it's really brought into the limelight, which we're grateful for. But when we were doing this stuff, it was before all that really got going, right?
And became in the media. There was no conversation about burnout. So that
I didn't know what burnout
was. The issue too was we didn't know what it was. We didn't know.
Never heard of it.
Symptoms we were experiencing were symptoms of burnout, and we didn't know like what to do about it. So that's why exactly as Tammy shared, we were like, we got to make this easier for people, especially women physicians. We've got to know about it. We've got to know the warning signs. We've got to know just kind of the way we treat a clinical condition. You know, symptoms, risk factors, epidemiology, diagnoses, treatment.
Prevention. Ultimately, it's about prevention.
Absolutely.
So tell the listeners now about Pink Coat MD, what the purpose is, what the offerings are, how you're helping, and some of the results that you might be seeing from the interactions you're having on yourselves, as well as the people that have come to you for help in the same space.
Take it, Louisa.
Sure. Yeah. So Pink Coat MD, this is the organization Tammy and I created together. The purpose is to help every woman physician thrive in medicine. Mm-hmm. Our mission is really to promote the personal success and personal well-being and professional success of every woman physician. In other words, we don't want to have any other woman physician have the same experience and journey in medicine as we did. Mm. We were brought up in a culture where if we turn to a senior, we've had more of the response of like, we had it worse. So don't complain kind of attitude. And the approach Tammy and I have is we want to make it better. So you come to us with your struggle. We want to help you. We want to make it easier. We want to create a path in medicine and healthcare that is much better. And we always tell all of our friends and our audience, like, we wish for a brighter, healthier, more compassionate future in medicine. And so what we have created is essentially a digital platform that brings together all the evidence-based resources we know to date that have been proven to help women physicians with burnout, and essentially help us not just overcome burnout, but live in alignment with our values and thrive as human beings. These are resources that Tammy and I have personally tried and have helped us. And these are resources that we know work, and we want it to be easy and accessible to as many people as possible. We are essentially a community. As I shared earlier, isolation and loneliness was one of my biggest drivers to burnout. And so we know that we need a safe community in healthcare and medicine where women can come together, connect with other like-minded women physicians, and feel safe enough to share their vulnerabilities and to openly connect and to learn and grow together. Tammy, I'm sure there's more.
It's a great. I think that's a great overview. And I think just to give some context to what these evidence-based resources are, maybe just for listeners who are maybe don't do the 24/7 like we do. We're like, well, it's obviously these things, but how are they going to know? Yeah. So honestly, everything I do is based on the Stanford model of professional fulfillment. So we do everything evidence-based. Mm-hmm. So there's all the stuff in culture of wellness, which is a lot of leadership, organizational development, and peer support, community building. We've got all the stuff in efficiency of practice, which for our population really comes down often to the use of the EMR. So we have charting boot camps. We do coaching. We have all kinds of things we do in that area. And then the third area is personal resilience, which we do a lot. And the real pillars, we have a year-long subscription membership thing that we do. It's all inclusive to everyone because honestly, making decisions all the time is what is part of the difficulty, protecting our mental and our prefrontal cortex, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of the challenge when we're really struggling as a physician in general, regardless of gender, is the ability to make decisions. And so we wanted just to make it simple. So here's everything you need for the year, right here in one place. We give you CME, you get leadership development, you get self-compassion, ongoing mindful self-compassion training. We do yoga. We do love yoga, right? I do love yoga. We do parenting coaching and training. We do like public speaking training, like to help women thrive and become better communicators. What else have we done? We're going to do money training and finances, right?
We essentially, bring women physicians together from anywhere and everywhere. So they join us from all over the country. We've had some international participants. Mm-hmm. They join us from their bedrooms, their call rooms, their cars. And they join us to have that safe experience of connecting with other women physicians who get their experience. Mm-hmm. And also we can offer, on-demand help with, any kind of life area, career area that they're experiencing. And as we come together in community, we're constantly learning from each other. So, what Tammy and I felt like we needed 5 years ago, now that we've come across hundreds of women physicians through our platform, we've really kind of learned a lot from our peer group, and we recognize that our needs are constantly evolving, and we hope that Pinkcode MD can be that place where we're constantly delivering on the needs of women physicians.
I think also their journey too, because we were just talking about this the other day, which is really looking at actually the journey of a very stressed, burned out woman physician who's probably ready to quit, which is where we were 5 years ago. And fast forward 5 years later, I mean, that's not Luis and me anymore. We've evolved and changed and grown, but so have all the women who've been with us since we started. So we started opened our very first session in March of 2020, as you can imagine. Wow. So the pandemic is a really good marker of the very first event we did. But we've had women with us who are still with us now, who are dead, like forever, forever part of our community who started with us back in March 2020. And to even look at their journey from the last 4 years is remarkable. And so their needs now today are so different from 4 years ago, understandably. And so we're recognizing that everyone needs something different and there's different paths along this journey. And I think you asked earlier, Roy, what are the results? I think there's that subjective results. There's the self-reported women tell us, you can even see it, them glowing, they're becoming leaders in their area, in their work and their lives. But also when we look in our data, we do the Mayo Wellbeing Index, right? We're like, we want the data. I mean, we have a 39% reduction in burnout for anyone who's been with us for more than a year. So, and those who stayed with us. So, so it's not like a quick fix. It's like a slow muscle. It's like going to the gym. you got to practice. And Luis and I have honestly benefited from this work just the same. But we attend everything that we host too, so it helps us as well.
Yeah, I mean, before we got on this podcast, Roy, I was sharing with you how. I'm still in practice. I still practice full time and I still see like 20 plus patients a day and I am still managing my overflowing inbox and raising 3 small children under the age of 10. And if you ask me, would that have been possible 6 years ago when I was in the depth of my burnout? Of course not. I was looking for a way out of this career. And wow, like the transformation Tammy and I have had and the transformation we're seeing in our peers. And so I think where we come from today is this position of tremendous hope. So we know burnout is still happening. We know there's a lot, there's large systemic factors at play. Some of those factors are very difficult to change. Tammy and I have accepted that we may not be able to change all the systemic, cultural, environmental factors overnight. Mm-hmm. However, I think our experience gives us tremendous hope for ourselves, hope for our peers, that there are ways to navigate this very challenging issue and still come out in a way that allows you to still, be a physician, practice, and have a life that is right for you.
If somebody's listening and interested, I want to get just kind of granular to the function. They go to pinkcodemd.com, and on the website, what are the actions that they'll take? What's sort of the entry point for somebody to get involved and is there a small investment? And then what do they have access to kind of coming in the door?
All you have to do is go to the website and there's a way to contact us directly. And obviously one of us from our team will respond, usually within 24 hours. And we have a year-round membership that goes all year round. It's currently paused, but it'll be opening up again before too long. And that's all inclusive. So once you join that, there's like a monthly payment plan. There's an annual payment plan. We offer CME with everything we do. And that's on purpose. So women can use their CME funds if they have that available through work. Nice. And it keeps up their CME too. And what else was I going to say? We host many free events throughout the year. So there's lists of, there's a tab that says upcoming events. And there's also a tab for our retreats because we actually do hopefully at least 2 in-person retreats a year. So we have one coming up this June in 2024, and we'll have one in January 2025.
Yeah, wow. So it's really an all-inclusive experience. And, if you're a woman physician who's struggling and you need immediate help, we do allow, we do offer, like, for instance, we have vetted professional coaches who we trust, who are always ready to serve. And somebody can contact us. We can get them in touch with a professional coach. I also want to add that, you know, part of what we were hoping for when you had asked earlier, like, what resources do you wish you had? Boy, that's a great question, because 6 years ago, again, when we're like that woman physician in the office suffering from burnout, but not really knowing that we had burnout, too afraid to speak out because we're, you know, in this culture of silence, disconnected from our peers and friends. I mean, there's a lot of support and resources we wish we had. And ideally, yes, we're getting it through our employers. We're getting it through our healthcare organizations. Mm-hmm. And the reality right now is that is not happening. And so that's why it sounds crazy that Tammy and I had to go ahead and create an organization to mm-hmm. essentially deliver to us the support and resources that we desperately needed right now. And I think that was the impetus for us creating what we created, was because we needed it like now, like stat. And so the only way for us to get the resources stat was for Tammy and I actually create it, versus, you know, waiting for our organizations to put it all together. And even that is hard, because part of what we need as women physicians, there's a lot of specificity to it. There's a lot of curation that goes to what we offer, what we feel is good. And we actually care about super high quality resources. So, I mean, I like cherry pick our speakers, our coaches, our instructors, our, you know, the things that we bring forth to our audience. And we do that because we actually believe that as women physicians, we really deserve the best. You know, we've given up and we sacrificed a lot to be where we are. We deserve to have this amazing experience where for once in our life, we get cared for and nurtured and nourished and loved on, and feel joy and fulfillment and peace.
Well, in the few minutes we have left, I want to ask one big question. So what's next for Pink Coat MD? Is there something on the horizon that you're working on that you're excited about that maybe unlocks the next level of addressing these issues?
Oh, yeah, I'm happy. Can I jump in? Oh, you want to jump in?
Oh, just really quickly, I do want to quickly jump in that one of the things that we noticed, and again, to Tammy's point earlier, we've now seen the transformation of women from burnout to kind of this more aspirational state of thriving. Mm-hmm. So when you get to that state, which is kind of where Tammy and I are at now, you know, we're past the burnout. The question that comes to mind is actually not so much, how do I cure my exhaustion? The question is, how do I pay it forward? Mm. And so, you know, it's amazing the community we have. It's, you know, we're really about making the world a better place and stewarding a healthier culture in medicine and healthcare. And so right now, to many of us, the question is, how do we pay it forward? And so one of the next exciting steps for Pink Coat MD is actually literally paying it forward. And we're going to welcome medical students and trainees to essentially have a complimentary experience in our platform. So our members sponsor a trainee, and we provide that mentorship and guidance and that beacon of hope and light.
Yeah. So, and for every woman physician who becomes one of our members who's an attending, it then automatically creates a membership for a trainee. So mm-hmm. every woman we know, we're automatically helping them, and we'll have the opportunity to do some sponsorship mentorship events too as well. And I think it goes both ways. There's three pillars to the work we do. We view it as self-leadership, because we've got to lead ourselves before we can do a thing for anyone else. And I know you're a leadership, you know, you're passionate about leadership. And then the next one is self-compassion, because mm-hmm. we can't give others compassion unless we're doing it for ourselves. And we're the worst at it as physicians and as women.
Yeah.
And we are as the profession in general. And the third one is intergenerational wisdom. So mm-hmm. yes, our older ones and those of us who are thriving can have so much to offer and give, but I truly deeply, I think we both totally know that these young ones, they're amazing and they're teaching us so much, just as much. So it goes all the different generations together. And we actually literally were just talking about this the other day, one of our sessions, about how cool it is. We have women at the very start of their careers. We have women who are close to retirement, thinking about retirement. What's their legacy going to be? How are we going to help them thrive in retirement? So it's really cool to see all those things. But yeah, that's what we're most excited about next.
Well, I love your passion. I love your energy. I want to thank you for your vulnerability and sharing your stories today, and the fire that you lit as a result of that to create PinkCoatMD.com, and encourage any of our listeners to go out and take a look at it. And obviously, if you need the help and you're at that place, sign up and get engaged. And time has flown by. So Louisa, Tammy, thank you for spending this time with us today. And I look forward to maybe some future conversations. And as the program grows, opportunities to provide updates as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a real, real treat to see you again, Roy, and be here with you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Roy.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Wellbeing Connector podcast. The Coalition for Physician Wellbeing presents conversations with professionals who support wholeness within their organizations. Our guests understand that in the pursuit of wholeness, we must encompass the physical, mental, social, and spiritual healthcare of each individual in order to reinvigorate their purpose and meaning. If you would like to hear more episodes, please visit www.forphysicianwellbeing.org/podcast.